Matthew chapter 9 this afternoon. Matthew 9, beginning in verse 35, and we'll look through verse 38. This is probably one of the classic texts in missions. And when we first went on deputation, this was a passage that I would actually preach from. And I've looked back through it over the years, and it really is one of these key passages that can really give us some foundational truths to being a missionary and being in mission. So we'll just look at a few thoughts regarding this text. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity we have again to look into it. And we pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts to your word. And Father, work in our hearts today. We want to do your will, and we pray that even through this passage, you will focus our minds and hearts on what's important with regard to all the people that we see around us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this passage really gives us a glimpse into the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look at his heart, it really challenges us to look at our own hearts. What do we see? As it begins here, it says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages. All the cities and villages. He didn't just spend time at the well-known places. He went to the obscure places as well. And when you look at the Lord Jesus, there was, yes, an emphasis to the Jews, but there was an overall emphasis that was there as well. And we see our Lord's heart for all people. And really, from this text, we see the importance of going to all. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Mark 16, 15, go ye into all the world. Acts 1, 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 13, 47, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And of course, God so loved the world. We need to have a global view of missions and not just a central point or a point with those people or those people groups that we like or that we would be gravitating to. Our heart really needs to be toward the whole world. One of my prayers for our church in Cameroon was from Psalm 67, verse 1. It says this, be gracious to us. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth and your saving power among all nations. It was my prayer for our church, Lord, bless us and make your face really shine upon us, and really for this purpose, that your way would be known on all the earth and your saving power among all nations. So really, this text is giving us a vision for missions. What is the ultimate goal? And really, you have to think about Revelation 7, 9. And after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. That's a picture of what it's going to look like in the future. And when we were in France, it was a blessing. You see these multicultural congregations. And the pastor said, you know, this is a taste of what it'll be like in heaven, where you have people from all tongues and tribes and people all singing praise to the Lamb. So regardless of your view on immigration or your view about why Muslims are here in the country, I think we can make a few applications here, can't we? We have a tremendous opportunity to reach out to people that have come really from all the world here to the United States. If we can make that application, yes, we go into all the world. There are missionaries that have gone to every country in this world, and they're trying to get into these really remote places. But what's happening is little by little, they're trickling here into the United States. And we have a tremendous opportunity even some countries you cannot go to, those people are coming here. And we need to have that heart, really that heart for all people. I think it's the Marines, they have the motto, what is it? No man left behind, something like that. I think for Christians, we can also have certain mottos as well. And maybe we should have as one of them, no one excluded. No one excluded. Second thing I see in the text here, or that we can look at and see, is the Lord's heart for helping others. He had a real heart for helping. We see teaching, preaching, and healing. Those are words that summarize Jesus' mission. He helped people spiritually, doctrinally, physically. And when Peter described the ministry of Jesus as he was telling this to Cornelius, what did he say? He said that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He was trying to explain to Cornelius, here was a man clothed with the power of God. And of course, we know he's also God himself. But here he was, clothed with the power of God. And what did Jesus do? He went about doing good. Doing good. We have opportunities to do good to those around us. There's a difference between doing good and being a do-gooder. Doing good is actually helping someone to help solve their problems or helping them with some of their needs, whether they're emotional or physical or spiritual. I think a do-gooder is out to salve his own conscience rather than trying to salve the wounds of others. And so Jesus went about doing good, that actual actions of helping people with whatever they have, whatever needs they have, that love that should be flowing in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. The fruit of the Spirit is love. When God's Spirit dwells within you, you're full of the Spirit, that's a natural outcome. A natural fruit should be love and this idea of willing to sacrifice and give for others. Doing good. What a tremendous opportunity medical missions has for those of you that are thinking about going into a major. Think about what you might do to study. Wow, medicine is a great tool that has been used for the centuries to be able to reach out to people, to really do good, to help them physically, but also to have an opportunity to bring the gospel to them spiritually as well. You know, when Jesus went about all the cities and villages, you see him healing many, many people, and there were so many, what would happen? There was no time to do anything else. There were so many people healing, and you almost think, well, what was the purpose of Jesus' ministry? Was it to healing? Well, that was part of it. But there's a text that says this, that when the sun was setting, this is in Luke chapter 4 and verse 40, when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on them, and he healed them. And demons came out, and many cried out, saying, you are the Son of God. But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, it says, he departed and went into a desolate place, and the people sought him and came to him. They're still coming. It's the next day, and they're still coming. But what did Jesus say? And they would have kept him from leaving them, but he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. See, the focus of Christ's ministry, even though it was involved with healing and helping people physically, the focus was the bringing of the gospel of the kingdom to others. So if our first motto was no one excluded, we should maybe think of a second one here from this text, no one unaided. In the sense that we as believers are not going to turn a blind eye to the needs that are around us, whether they be physical or spiritual or emotional. Third thing we can see from the text, we see that Jesus saw the multitudes and what happened. He was moved with compassion. He saw the multitudes. Part of our problem is we don't even see them, do we? We kind of look at a crowd and we don't see them as eternal souls that will spend eternity somewhere. And Jesus saw them. He saw them for what they were. He could look beyond the religious exterior, the facade that was there, and he looked and he saw the hearts and he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. I appreciated so much being able to meet this missionary that I mentioned who was born in Algeria. He knows Islam. He knows how to speak Arabic. And his philosophy of ministry was this. It wasn't to go and to start debates and to talk about the Trinity or to talk about the deity of Christ. That would come up and he would try to do that. But his main goal would be to get to the heart of the matter. He says, I know Muslims. They're all a facade. There's all this outward religious aspect, but you need to go to the heart. And what he would do is he asked simple questions. Questions that would really demonstrate whether or not they had a personal relationship with God. And so we'd ask him a question simply like, you know, what's God teaching you now? Or what have you learned about God this week? And many times they had nothing to say. And when there was that awkward silence there, he says, well, let me tell you what God's telling me. And let me show you what God's shown me in his word. And it was that simple aspect that would help them to see that really they had no relationship with God. And really, if you ever come across a Muslim and you have a neighbor that's a Muslim, don't be afraid at all. They're wonderful people. Many of them are here in America. They want to get a better life. They're here to try and live the American dream, so to speak. But they're also very religious people in the sense that they're curious about Christians. They'll engage in talking with you, and they will not hesitate in that area. And there's not this standoffish hardness, but you'll see there is an openness. And use those opportunities as you are able. And try to look beyond the exterior and look to the interior like our Lord did. I was listening to a message recently, and the preacher had spoken with a lady after the service. And this particular lady had a husband who had died of a brain tumor. She herself, she had a brain tumor. And she would collapse, and she had to go to the hospital often. She had some kids that were wild. They were teenagers. And she was talking with a pastor and mentioned, you know, she didn't have money. And it kind of went on and on. And the preacher said, you know, I need to tell you something. Life is really ugly, isn't it? You know, I can't make you better. I can pray for you. I can't heal you. I can't do anything like that. But I don't know what's going on with you, he said. But I will pray for you. But my big concern is that how you're looking at life and the ugliness of it. He said, what if there is somebody that could make it beautiful? And she cried and cried, the pastor went on to say. And she said, I wish that were true. And he said, well, I want to tell you someone who is so beautiful that when you come to trust him, he takes everything that happens to you and turns it for good. He beautifies the ugliness. He gives you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the spirit of praise for the garment of heaviness. And he goes on to say that this lady didn't come to Christ at that moment, but he was glad to be able to give her the message that she needed to hear. And you know, we can go anywhere in the world and give that same message. Jesus Christ is the one who can make sense out of life. And he's the one who can provide the way of salvation and the only way of forgiveness from sin, the only way to be just before God. It's all through Christ. The only way to really have true life is in him. And you can go anywhere in the world and give that same message. So Jesus looked on the multitudes. He was moved with compassion because he saw them as they really were. How do we see people? How do we look at the needs that are around us? You know, I think you can almost gauge how you're doing spiritually by the priority that you put as far as people that are around you. Priority in the sense of how important are those that are around me. On any given day, I can find myself just kind of going throughout the day, and really, people are no priority to me. Other people around me, it's like I'm consumed with what I've got to do and here. Other days, okay, they're a low priority, but they're a priority. And there might be other days, no, they're high priority. I mean, I'm thinking I'm in the grocery line, or I'm over here, I'm playing tennis, and my thought is, Lord, how can I bring the gospel? What can I say to at least engage the conversation? So I think we all know what that's like, and I think that we all would like to be at that point where we're continually thinking, okay, there are people around me. Help me to be people-focused. Help that to be a priority. Well, that comes when we really see people as they are. Jesus was moved with compassion because he saw the people. They were sheep without a shepherd. They were dejected. They were torn. They were forlorn. They were people that needed help and hope, and Jesus was there. And he saw them like that. And that brings us to the last thing, the solution for it. What was the solution? Jesus said, well, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. There is a need for laborers, and God has linked prayer with the sending forth of missionaries. And so we need to keep praying for missions, praying for our missionaries. Realize that God has that link. Even for sending out missionaries, it's related to praying. And he says to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. I can remember as a Clemson student, I was challenged by that. As I started going to church, I was saved, and there were missionaries that would come, and they would say, pray to the Lord of the harvest. And I remember, okay, Lord, I'll pray the Lord of the harvest. I'll pray to you, Lord, send laborers. Send laborers here to Clemson, to my fellow students that are here. And as I was praying that, it was like in back of my mind, in my heart, the Lord was saying, okay, I'll send them, but what about you? Are you willing to go? And then I got to thinking, you know, I need to be willing to go to my own Clemson fellow students. I shouldn't be praying for other laborers when I could be doing it myself. And it really oriented my thinking in the way that it should be. Yes, pray for the Lord to send forth laborers, but also think, well, what can I do? And that got me thinking, well, Lord, maybe you'd have me be in full-time missions as well. And there were a lot of struggles. I was thinking, there's no way, but God kept assuring, and he gave promises. And I'm so thankful that despite my inabilities and my doubts about myself, the Lord gave me those promises to assure me that, no, faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. So our Lord had a heart for everyone, all the cities and villages, so no one excluded. He had a heart for helping, teaching, preaching, and healing, no need unaided. He had a heart of compassion. He was moved with compassion. Maybe we should put as a motto there, no hurt unfelt. And then finally, a heart of prayer. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest. And maybe we should think about here, no field forgotten. Let there be no field forgotten, that we're not forgetting to pray for our missionaries. We're not forgetting to pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth those laborers. Well, just a few thoughts this morning from Matthew 9, 35 through 38. It's been a blessing to be with you in this conference. Thank you again. And I know I speak for the other missionaries. Thank you so much for your prayers and your support. We can't be on the field without that, and we do appreciate that. I'll close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this text that gives us some foundational principles for missions. And Lord, thank you for how you don't cease to speak to our hearts, and you don't cease to desire to use us, even though we're weak and frail, even though we're sinful and we fail. But Lord, you have called us and you've given us the grace. You have also promised to be with us and you have claimed all authority. And we thank you that we can go with boldness to those that are around us. Help us to have a heart that you had while you were here on earth. Help us to see people as you see them. And help us have a heart for others that you have. And we pray this in Jesus' name.